All right, before we get going today, I want to talk about surfing. And did you know surfing spread around the world thanks to America? But how many brands still make their surf apparel in the USA? Well, Birdwell Beach Britches stays true to their roots by handcrafting their products in California to this day since 1961. In 1961, surf mom Carrie Birdwell Mann transformed her small Southern California home into a sewing room and store, launching Birdwell and creating one of California's first surf shops. Birdwell Beach Britches look as good today as they did when surfers first started wearing them in 1961. Maybe better. Outside Magazine calls them the 501s of the beach. I would totally agree with that. Birdwell began as a family company in 1961 and has outfitted multiple generations for surfers, lifeguards, and beachgoers the world over. A pair of birdies is often a cherished hand-me-down or gift from parent to child. Every pair of Birdwell beach britches is individually inspected to ensure the highest quality and is covered by a lifetime guarantee. That's right, folks. Your bathing suit is covered by a lifetime guarantee. If a seam, stitch, or grommet breaks, you send it back to the factory and they will fix it. To get 10% off your first Birdwell Beach Britches purchase with lifetime guarantee and free shipping over $99, go to birdwell.com and use discount code SPIKE at checkout. That's discount code SPIKE at birdwell.com. Pick up your first pair of Birdwells and see why they've been an American icon since 1961. Let me tell you this, folks. I wear Birdwell britches when I go to the beach, and I love them.
Now, Podcast One brings you Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Why do your balls need powder?
Yeah, I never needed my balls powder. Yeah.
I mean, listen, you're not fat, so you probably don't need this. Balls get sweaty sometimes.
I mean, yeah, right? They get sweaty in the race car.
Race car drivers don't have sweaty balls.
Have you needed a powder because of it?
Maybe you don't know what you're missing.
I think that's the problem.
Maybe you haven't tried it, so you don't realize the benefits.
I'm right. This is Spike's Car Radio. We're talking about sweaty balls here.
To be fair, we're talking about chassis, which is a car term.
And you're listening to two IndyCar drivers, Alexander Rossi and James Hinchcliffe. And I'm here also with Matt Farah, who's introduced ball powder to the room. And
listen, I'm a great pitch man.
I'm fascinated by the conversation. I was going to start the podcast and have an actual podcast, but why don't we talk about this?
Talk about chassis?
It's less about chassis, but why do you need powder for your testicles?
Do none of the three of you know what you're missing?
I've never tried it, but I'm interested.
There's a cooling menthol thing that happens there.
Now you're worried.
You didn't answer the question. Like, why do you need powder?
That's like icy hot on your balls.
That's what I was going to say. It's a chemical reaction.
Not remotely the level of an icy hot. No, we're not. It doesn't. The hot part doesn't
happen. Let's start at the beginning of this, Matt, because I need, you know, these guys, they're in race cars, they're in suits, they sweat, but why? Why do you? I don't understand why you need ball powder. Explain to me this. I grew up in a medical family.
It. It's not like it's
what
not
is
like
the situation that you're using ball powder?
I mean, frankly, I've done little bit. I've done this much race car driving.
Okay.
In slow cars, like cars that would embarrass you guys. And I don't think my balls have ever been sweatier. Frankly, I raced the 24 hours of VIR. Which is an endurance race.
Yeah.
You do a two-hour stint.
You're avoiding the explanation part.
In August. Have you ever been to Virginia in August in a racing suit?
What is wrong? Why can't you just your balls be sweaty?
Well, they can. Or they could not.
And so what? So you
why can't your hair look crappy? And why can't you wear a Casio watch?
He's saying, why do you wear cologne?
I'm asking a question, like, at what point do you put the powder on, and what does it do for you?
I think the question is,
what
drives you to go into CVS and ask for ball powder?
No. Let back this up. Okay. Because I'm trying to defend the listeners here, Matt. I want you to answer the question.
Don't make me look crazy.
I'm not making you look crazy. I'm genuinely, this reminds me of Howard Stern when he was using the baby wipes and he was like, this is why I do this. I started using them when I had kids and now it's easier. I find it better than toilet paper.
I can see that perspective.
What, and I'm asking you because I don't know, what does ball powder do for you?
It keeps you a little drier down there.
Okay, so it absorbs the sweat.
It absorbs it. There's a minty thing that happens. You can picture this minty.
Is that a smell or a taste?
It's not a strong – it's a sensation.
Oh, this is a good podcast,
folks. It's a
menthol-y
sensation.
So this – so it's
combined
comfort.
With mesh shorts and a light ocean breeze
does it,
for something
does it
really
stop,
delightful.
Does it stop nice. Itching?
Not really.
No.
It improves the general situation.
There's a cream for that.
Does your fiance put it on for you? Or this is...
No, she doesn't.
Do you have a special brush or do you just...
do you put it on before you get in the race car or like once it's already...
Yeah, before the stint. Before the stint.
See, because I'm going somewhere with this. Because these
guys...
Can
you get there? Jesus.
These guys race cars and, you know, we've talked about this on the show before. Like, you don't have bathroom breaks in race cars. And race cars run hot. Indy cars, do they have air conditioning in them at all?
Air conditioning?
They do
not.
They got nothing, right? There's zero, right?
Zero.
So you're really sweating.
Yes.
So,
speaking of which, I'm glad the air conditioning is working in here today.
Yeah. And by the way, we could use ball powder right now, right?
I'm sorry. I don't have samples to give out.
So we're recording tonight at 6:30. And the podcast one geniuses forgot to tell them we were going to be here. And they turned off the air conditioning. So God damn it.
Well, you bring up a great point is that in our cars, we do long races and we have to hydrate a lot because we do sweat a lot.
You have a drink bottle in your car, right?
Yeah, you do, but you never want to use it because like the water in it's like 183 degrees.
It's like, really? I'm about to pass out.
It sits beside
emergency.
The radiator. It's off. Yeah, exactly. It's a last resort thing.
Yeah.
But so sometimes, you know, nature calls and you have to go. So what happens in that scenario if you're all powdered up down there? Is that too much?
I don't recommend combining it with peeing in your suit.
That's what I'm saying.
So
that's something
you
that
just
we have
in
to
your
do sometimes.
Yeah.
I can't possibly endorse that.
See, here's the thing.
You don't pee in the suit?
You don't pee in your suit.
No. Look, now, you're the first driver I've heard that says that. Everyone,
you don't, and I don't. I've never done it.
You've never done it.
I would do it if I had to.
If you
and
had
I know
to.
many, many guys that do.
So then how do you time it out?
Wait, I have a question. Your balls are pretty cinched down.
Yeah.
How – I mean, I'd find it hard even if I wanted to be, I'd find it hard.
You can't do it under green. You can't do
it.
It's got to be in the pits or it's a caution period normally.
That makes way more sense.
Yeah. Under caution. Everything's relaxed. That's when you
–
yeah, the pits are still a little too tense actually.
There should be a special powder flag maybe that comes out and everyone gets to powder the balls.
That's actually what a yellow flag means. That's what go ahead.
It's time to –
The legend – you know the legendary Dick Trickle in NASCAR installed a cigarette lighter and a cigarette pack holder in his NASCAR and would have cigarettes during his
good old days.
Yellows.
God. Are you powdered up right now on your balls? Is this
No, this isn't
he wasn't expecting to sweat too much.
I wasn't
today.
Driving in an endurance race in Virginia today.
All right.
It's not in a situation I needed. But it's there if I
think
needed.
This is all relevant information. I think
I
people
can't tell
need
you how
to know
happy
that
my
you,
sponsor will be that we're having
that
this
you powder your balls.
I definitely learned something today.
I'm going to try, by the way, let's get you guys a sponsorship
deal. Get us a free sample.
I can get you a winglet, you know, at least.
Why don't we do, you know, these guys are in town for the Long Beach Grand Prix.
I'm stoked.
It's going to be cool. Why don't you get them some before this weekend?
Get us some chassis, because I don't have an exclusive on my balls.
I'm going to go through the fucking pits.
If your balls are an open category.
Every inch of their car is sponsored, but their balls are not. They're going to be so happy
we're discussing
this.
I can get the submarine strap sponsored, man.
Perfect.
Oh my God.
It's an untapped market. The in-car camera, we'll pick that up. Done.
Well,
they
this is fun.
They haven't screwed you guys with halos yet, have they?
No. We have a good solution coming.
What's the good solution?
A windscreen.
Oh.
Yeah. Just
a glass.
Remember, like
windscreen?
Indy cars, like back in the '80s, you kind of looked through a little bit of it was like a plexiglass thing back then. Well, now we're making it out of F-16 fighter jet canopy material.
Neat.
Wow.
And so it's going to kind of sit off the front of the monocoque, and it'll be open top still, but it'll kind of come just about to
head height.
Yeah. And
Most of your helmet will be under
all of the helmet. It'll just cover all the helmet.
Is there any added rollover protection or is
there
that,
actually is because the strength of those things. I mean, that material is incredible. Like
that's
it's designed
badass.
To take, I think, a 30-pound weight at 600 miles an hour or something.
Yeah. What's funny is like they show us the graphs, the people that PPG who makes the actual material. They show it to us, and their scale is so far removed from cars because
it's all jet scale.
It's jet scale, so it's like
it
it'll
jets
definitely
fall out
be able
of the
to
sky
it.
At our speeds. Well, you know what I mean?
You mentioned you said 30 pounds at 600 miles an hour. That's a bird strike.
Exactly.
It's meant for a bird. It's meant for
exactly
a bird strike
at 600 miles an hour.
Well, has anyone? I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this out
Fabio.
Loud to an IndyCar driver. But has anyone sent one into a chain link fence at 200 miles an hour?
Yes.
And how'd that come out? How'd that work out?
With the canopy?
Yeah.
No, we don't have the canopies yet.
No, no, but with that glass.
In testing.
No, yeah.
We testing?
Yeah, no. We don't have that yet. Right. We haven't.
I'm not going to be able to ask a question today. Matt's just going to keep talking.
Go ahead, Spike. Jump in. Go ahead.
I want to conduct an interview here
Lungs.
If I can.
Yeah,
I know. I love it when you come, but please shut the fuck up. All right. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in and chatting with us. I wanted to talk about Long Beach Grand Prix. And where we're at. Now, I think the show's probably going to air after that, but how many races in are we at this point?
So we are two in. Long Beach will be the third for the season, for the 2018 season.
Yeah, and how do you guys feel so far? You know, we had Graham Rahal in here a few weeks back.
Sorry about that.
What does that mean? Why would you say that?
No, he's a great guy. He's not.
These guys, John
not,
and I.
He's not dull at all.
John and I wanted to pitch a show with all of these Indy drivers about – you guys are all kind of located in Indianapolis, right, when you're not racing. And I was over at their podcast last week or 2 days ago. Yesterday, yeah. Right, yesterday. As a matter of fact. Yeah. Let me tell you what these guys have going on.
Okay. I know where this
show
is going.
Up at this cute little Airbnb that looks exactly like any L.A. house that you would imagine, like beautiful, modern, contemporary home with orange seats in the background.
That sounds right.
Hip, yeah. Real, kind of hip thing. They've got this podcast going on, which is called Off Track, and you can catch that wherever podcasts are available.
Or CastBox.fm.
Okay, wherever it is. And we'll get to that in a second.
CastBox.fm.
There are these three very beautiful women in bikinis in the back eating, like, chips and cookies and and drinks. And
sister, cousin.
No.
Yeah, and you know, it's okay to talk. These are must be girlfriends or wives. Here's what was striking about it to me, because I didn't think these guys have quite the life going on. This seemed like the 60s and 70s race car racing driver life that I didn't think existed anymore. And yesterday it was pointed out to me that it's still going on.
I think it exists. Who said it doesn't exist?
Well, I mean, in the 60s and 70s, it was maybe a little more intense than what you experienced.
Yeah, there was
you can't drink at the track anymore.
Well, exactly. Right. You can't have your smokes in the car with you. And, you know, I'm pretty sure James Hunt did like a fair amount of cocaine while driving race cars.
Definitely.
But, yeah, there was no booze or cigarettes. But I'm just saying the whole vibe, these guys have quite the life going on, Matt.
I'm not mad
revelations
at it.
On this show.
No, I'm not.
Racing drivers surrounded by pretty girls in bikinis while recording their off-track podcast.
I don't think people know about that, too. I know you're being sarcastic, but people don't know about this. And first of all, I just want to say I'm very proud of you boys. Very proud of what you're doing. I hope my boys, my young boys, grow up to be guys like you. It seems like an excellent life that you've carved out for yourself there.
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate.
We're very fortunate. It has its perks, definitely.
And who are these
a lot of work, though. It's not all.
Who are these girls? Were these girlfriends or wives?
These were both. No, I'm kidding. No.
So it was girlfriends and a friend.
Yeah, it was Alex's girlfriend, Kelly, my girlfriend, Becky, and then a good friend of ours, Marissa.
It's an excellent little scene. And they have this podcast thing set up with air conditioning, like Podcast One, which has 200 podcasts here. It's one of the biggest podcast networks in the world. No air conditioning.
It's really not that bad.
Look at me. I'm fucking –
it's really not that bad in here.
I am sweating right now.
Put the coffee down.
I can't. I'm so
tired.
Put
the chassis on.
It's been a horrible day.
Give me
ball powder. Put it on your forehead. Can you put it on your forehead? Does it work?
And you guys are doing this – you're doing this podcast. What the fuck is that? What's going on here? Help me understand what's going on.
What is a podcast?
I don't know what a podcast is.
I know what a podcast is.
What?
But you guys, Indy is up to something bigger, right? Because
no.
I'm seeing you guys on CBS. I'm seeing you on Dancing with the Stars. I'm seeing you on The Bachelor. And now there's a podcast with girls with bikinis going on. What's the plan? What am I missing? What is the mission here? What is going on?
We're trying to make IndyCar great again.
Okay.
And what that boils down to is there was a big shift that happened, 15 years ago?
Yeah, mid-90s.
In the CART IRL split. Mm-hmm. And what happened was that at that time, CART Championship Auto Racing Teams was arguably an even more successful open wheel racing championship than Formula One. It was by far the most successful and powerful racing championship in the United States, far bigger and better than NASCAR. But there was a split that happened with egos and money and power plays, and teams went to their separate series. There was the Indy Racing League and then what became Champ Car. And it really just divided a fan base. Mm-hmm. Well, the merge happened again.
2008.
In 2008. And since 2008, we have been trying to claw our way out of a hole that was dug. And it's kind of our responsibilities as the ambassadors for the sport to try and help with that and raise brand awareness and to try and restore it to what it was.
And this leads you to Dancing with the Stars.
I was going to say, this leads us to a podcast filmed in an Airbnb in California with girls and geese.
No, because I really enjoyed the podcast. I thought it was a lot of fun, but it seemed more entertainment-oriented, which is not what I expected it to be. And I had a very good time on it.
Well, we're happy, right? We're happy to hear that. Well, and that's just
but
it.
But off-track is different than... You know
it
what
could,
I mean?
It could lead you either way.
Right.
It could lead you to here's what happened in the race, and it could lead you. It could lead you to here's what happened.
No, but
last
we were
night.
Having this fun conversation about and you guys could ask Matt the question about Saturday Night Live cast members.
Mm-hmm.
Like pick the male cast member, the female cast member that could beat the crap out of any other Saturday Night Live cast members, and you can pick anyone.
From any
who would win
show.
In a fight?
In a fight?
In a battle royale?
And a female. We know the answer. We have the answer. But
they were
let's
actually
see
both
how you could do.
By Spike.
Chris Farley on a speedball.
Oh, Chris Farley.
Nobody's stopping Chris Farley on a speedball.
No, I think he stops himself. I think that's
eventually
that's
he would
the
drop
problem.
Dead.
Yeah.
But until then, watch
that's
out.
Horrible, Matt, that you would say.
And
that's very insensitive.
Melissa McCarthy is a
beast.
And
by the way, Chris Farley, he was a very sweet guy. He's not a fighter. He was a lover. Yeah, he would not fight.
Well.
But how about this? You ready?
Okay.
Joe Piscopo.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Muscle Joe.
He'd pull out a gun. He would be armed.
He's jacked up and he's angry.
Yeah.
And I think his biggest competition was Bill Murray.
It was Bill Murray or Belushi?
It was Bill Murray.
That's because it was your pick.
Still.
I think Bill Murray is an angry guy. He's an angry guy.
He shoves it down, though, right?
Yeah, he's volatile.
He's repressed.
He's funny. He's repressed. I think that's a pretty good guess. That's a pretty decent fight. And then for women, who did we have?
I think it was Leslie Jones was the winner.
Yeah, that's who I picked, Leslie Jones, for sure. But I don't know her, but I know. She just seems like she can fight.
I thought Kate McKinnon maybe had some, like,
what about Tina Fey?
No,
Tina Fey's not tough.
No, she's nerdy. No. She's super nerdy.
Melissa McCarthy's Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy.
No,
she's not a cast member on Saturday Night Live?
No, no, she couldn't do it.
Okay.
Anyway, this is the discussion we're having.
Is that what your show is about?
Indy race car driver
part of it,
podcast.
I guess. Yeah, so I mean the whole point is when the split happened, our fan base shrank enormously.
Okay.
And so now it's getting better. But
when the two series joined back together, the fans didn't come back together?
By that point, so many had left both because they were just over. Imagine if the NFL split and then there was AFC the AFC and the NFC. Yeah. And everybody would just kind of eventually get sick of it.
Huh.
So that's what happened. So we got back together and all we were left with was that core base of like the real hardcore motorsports fans. And we were no longer kind of a mainstream sport. And so what we've been trying to do over the last decade now is, like Alex said, kind of claw out of that hole and become more of a mainstream conversation.
And the way that you do that is not just talking about race cars.
Not just racing. So,
no, you guys have been all over the place. I mean, like I told you, I'm seeing you all over my Twitter feed. You're all over the place. And
good
it
job.
Does
congratulate SEO Gold.
Raise awareness, and it's cool. Let's start with Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I think this is going to be a lot more fun than Indy Racing. Indy Race is great. We all love it. But let's talk about Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
So is this – do they reach out to you? Is this the Indy folks, that woman who does PR that
– Susan.
Susan,
yeah.
Right.
Indirectly, yes. So Elio Castroneves was on the show. He's an IndyCar driver.
Right.
Retired this year.
And how did he do?
He won it.
He won it.
So
He won Dancing with the Stars?
He won Dancing with the Stars back in 2007.
He is a champion.
And everything.
Helio is a champion.
Look at these guys. They're thin. They're in shape. You know, they're ready.
You're built for dancing.
Coordinated.
Built for dancing.
Good. Endurance.
Yeah.
Endurance.
It's true.
Beautiful women. It makes perfect sense.
Musically challenged, though. That's the hard part.
Did you dance before that? Spike,
I am a 5'9" white Canadian kid. This was my dance move. I'm fist bumping for those that can't see.
So you can't do anything?
Absolutely not.
Now, I looked up some of your dancing, and I thought you were a great dancer.
Well, thank you.
They give you good training, right?
I had a great teacher. and my partner,
and here's who you were up against, Rick Perry.
Less challenging.
Rick fucking Perry.
Now,
dude.
Listen, but Ryan – yeah, you're not afraid of him, right?
I'm not afraid of Rick Perry.
But wait, Ryan Loke – I would be a little afraid.
Oh, the swimmer?
Ryan Lochte, yeah.
Ryan Lochte,
yeah,
that's his name, right?
Him doing Vanilla Ice. Unsavory.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice.
That guy
ice
is a little unfair. He can dance. He's a rapper. He can dance, right?
Yes, yeah. He comes from that background.
And oh, he had the dance back in the day.
Yeah,
the,
yeah,
he had,
absolutely.
He so how is that fair?
There was the a move. Yeah. It was actually featured in one of his dances.
Did he incorporate the move?
He sure did.
Okay, yeah.
It's like when Alfonso Ribeiro was on the show.
And he did the Carlton.
He did the Carlton. Yeah. Like he had a built-in thing to get some votes there.
But you're not intimidated in any way?
Oh, no, I was terrified.
Right.
No, that was a terror. Right. It was awful. Like, right. The first – so Elio had to sell me on it. So they called and asked if I would do it.
Well, can you go back to the Elio selling you?
Yeah, let's what see. What is that call care? Like?
Why did he sell? He have to sell you on it?
Because – so this was 10 years later, right? So 10 years since he'd done the show. And mm-hmm. I was sitting – I got a call on a Friday. It was a race weekend. And we have autograph sessions every race weekend for an hour for fans, right? So we're sitting at the autograph session. Oh, so they called me on a Friday. Said, we need to know by Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I had 48 hours to decide if I was going to uproot my life for 3 months, move to LA, and embarrass myself on national television because I can't dance. And so I sat with Elio, and I'm like, man, I don't know if – like, tell him, like, should I do this or should I not? And he goes, dude, it's going to be great for the sport. It's going to be great for you. You're going to have a blast. He was like, it's a lot of work, but hey – people love it. So many people see it. He goes, people still come up to me today and say, I love you on Dancing with the Stars. Now, 5 minutes later, a little old lady comes through the autograph line. I loved you on Dancing with the Stars. And he just points her. He's like, the case in point. So he sold me on it. So I agree to do it. But I was absolutely terrified at the prospect.
Now you have a girlfriend at the time?
Hired that old lady.
Yes.
You do. And what does she think?
So my girlfriend's an actress. So like she understands like that this world, that world, the showbiz world.
Right, right.
She knows what's like being on set with somebody and this, that, and the other. She didn't think I could dance. So she's like, yeah.
She didn't.
Go for it. You'll be out in a week.
Yeah. Really? No,
I'll be home in time for supper.
Wouldn't she be excited for you to
she was
learn
very
how to dance?
Well, so here's the thing, okay?
Because I sense something. Let me press on here. I watched the clip and they cut to her and she seemed a little jealous. You're dancing with this beautiful woman and she was trying to smile, but she was.
So
it looked like she was like, you're dancing with my guy and everybody's applauding for you.
So here's the problem, right? It looks like if you watch the videos, you could argue that it looks like I might be able to dance, right?
I thought you danced very well.
Well, thank you. But here's the problem. To do that, here's the thing. If music comes on and someone says, oh, you can dance, go for it. No. You give me 90 seconds of a song.
Yeah.
You give me 8 hours a day for 6 weeks and a professional dancer choreographer to drag me through the routine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could do that for 90 seconds.
You can
so
memorize.
Could you, so could you, so could you. But
I
like
do it.
Just put on music and do something.
You can't
right.
do the
absolutely
next 90
not.
Seconds
right.
of that song.
Exactly right. So I think the problem for Becky was like she's like seeing me do all these great dances knowing full well he'll never be able to do that with me.
Right.
Like, he can't
right.
do that anymore.
Zero.
You know? Zero.
I know, but then all the women in America fall in love with you. And again.
All the 55 to 75-year-old women in
they
America
do.
Fall in love with you. Yes.
Right. And there you go.
I got a very
and how far did
fan.
You get? You got very close, right?
Yeah, I came second.
He came in second.
Yeah, so Elio likes to remind me that he won.
And we were talking about this on their podcast. He took some of that money that he won and he bought.
I bought a car.
He bought a car.
Bought nice car?
Yeah, I bought a Mercedes AMG GTS.
Oh, those are great. That's a nice car.
Yeah.
Couple of colors.
Good choice.
Is it like the pearl white, red and black interior? Yeah.
Man
beautiful
of taste.
Car.
That's an excellent car.
That's a Canadian color choice, by the way.
White over
red and black inside. Yeah. But we're going to give it to him. It's Canadian.
I was going to ask, are you guys impressed by street cars ever?
No.
Yeah, no is usually what I get from race car drivers. Are you impressed by street cars ever, James?
For different reasons.
Like what? Build quality or something
like
that?
Yeah. Like so our IndyCar, we're never going to drive anything else that's got performance even remotely close to
right.
that, right? So from a performance perspective, you're like, yeah, this is good for a street car, but it's not like a wowing factor. But when you get a car that performs very well for a street car but still has great build quality, great ride quality, not the most comfortable car to drive in IndyCar, if I'm totally honest with you.
Yeah.
Fast, not very comfy. So cup holders, heated seats, XM radio, and still a badass performance car. That's nice to me. I appreciate that.
But is the idea like, you know, here, me and Spike on Sundays, we go up in the mountains. We drive our sports cars around. You know, we pretend and whatever. But so do you guys, do you guys get in a sports car and go for a drive? Or is there just –
they're kind of like
– you just totally desensitized.
They're kind of like Brian Vickers. More. Remember when we were talking to Vickers? And
well,
his
Brian Vickers
his
is a
dream,
maniac. I don't
his
know.
His dream car was the Tesla, the Model S, as quiet as possible, and air conditioning was a premium for him. That's what he wanted. He said, I want air conditioning.
Well,
in
let
my
me
car.
Put it to you this way. So, like, I, unlike James, didn't win or finish second in a massive reality TV show. So
you
I didn't
fourth
well,
one.
I didn't have
now,
a
hold on. You were in one, the yes, Amazing yes, Race, and I do want to get to that.
It didn't pay.
It doesn't pay you.
Well,
Amazing
not
Race.
Like Dancing with the Stars.
Not like Dancing with the Stars.
So the car that I bought, because I wanted to also buy a car, is literally just the biggest comfortable thing you can buy. It's just right. an Audi S8.
Oh, there you go. That's right. a good
That's
choice.
A great, yeah. Great yeah. Right? So it's not. I'm not looking for performance. Like, yeah, it'll go quick if I want it to.
No, yeah.
What colors did you get?
Gray. On gray, there on gray.
Very, very American, Audi. Very American.
Very
yeah, there you go. Yeah. The difference between
there
the Canadian
will be no color in this
and
car.
The American. So wait.
I say it's lovely, though.
Yeah, it's
That's a great car.
And I love the fact that it has, you know, 600 horsepower and it massages you.
Yeah.
It just does that.
Heated seats. Yeah.
It's the new one?
It's a 16, but then I took it to Graham Rahal Performance, actually.
Oh, did you?
In Brownsburg, Indiana, and him and I did some work to it.
That motor's got some extra little room in it.
Oh, it's got all the room filled.
Yeah. Oh, does it?
Oh, absolutely.
Is it making like 700, 750?
Like 885.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, lovely.
So Amazing Race. I want to talk about Amazing Race.
Okay.
You were just on this last year, right?
I ended in October.
Yes. And you were on with...
Connor Daly. Oh, boy.
There you go. Are you friends with Connor? Or do you became friends with him?
Anymore.
Yeah.
I am friends with him maybe a little bit less afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was the experience like? You know, did you like doing a show like that? How long does it take to shoot that series?
So it was five weeks.
5 weeks.
I did enjoy it because it's competition.
Mm-hmm.
But it was weird how it worked out because, like, all of the stars aligned for me to be able to completely fall off the radar for 5 weeks, which in our sport really
isn't a thing.
To not be able to do sponsor appearances and not tell the sponsor why and having to kind of lie to people about, oh, I'm going backpacking through Europe type of thing. Whereas at least with James's, it was a longer time commitment, but like his friends and family could still see him. His team owner could come watch him do it and people knew what he was doing. I just said, bye.
They take your phones.
Oh,
they take everything.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like
you
literally,
can't talk
literally,
about
I could have broken
right.
a leg,
yeah.
and people wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. It's like this is CIA. Bert Van Munster still, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I did a Bert Van Munster show. Okay. I know how this goes. I was right. with you.
Got
they
it.
Take your phone. They take all your shit. You're off the grid.
Oh, you are so off the grid. Like the fact that we didn't know about the California wildfires or the Las Vegas shooting,
or Big Brother,
the fact that Hugh Hefner died.
Right. You're really isolated.
Yeah.
And then you can't talk about it until they start rolling out the shows.
That's correct.
And how did you do? Did you win? I didn't watch it. But...
No, God, we did not win.
How do you guys not win?
We,
you guys
we finished,
are two of the greatest
fourth.
Drivers. You finished fourth.
And that was making it on 11 out of 12 episodes.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, 8 out of 9 episodes. So that was cool. And that was kind of the main objective, right? But what's interesting is if you win... You get the $1 million, which is the grand prize.
Wow.
If you don't win, you don't get that.
You get nothing. You get like a per diem.
You get a bit.
Are you getting paid per episode at
least?
Oh,
no.
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 Really?
But if you win legs, you sometimes get
so
money
that's the
and
thing.
You guys won a couple
so
legs.
So we won a couple legs. So Connor and I got $12,500 each because we won 2 legs.
Uh-huh.
And then we won a vacation to Curacao, which I don't
together?
Know. Together? Yeah. Which I don't know where that is.
That was a blue that. Liquid yeah. that you put in margaritas. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So when they announced that, we were like, sweet, what is it? So I don't know if I will go on that.
So not. What's next then? So you've done these shows. You've done the podcast.
Well, James has told me that he really wants to do Naked and Afraid.
We could make that happen.
Here,
we
do it right now. It's so
right,
hot here.
Do it right now.
How about Naked and Overheated?
I wish Wipeout was still a show.
I had a friend who worked on that show, and it was one of the most – he was one of the most wonderfully sadistic people. He would design these challenges just – really injure people, and he really enjoyed it.
I imagine that's why the show no longer exists.
Yeah, it was brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Do you guys
go around and like get an Airbnb together where you're racing and then record your podcast about the off-track exploits? Is that your concept?
Kind of.
Awesome.
But we also, like, for 85% of the races, take our buses. And so we record them in the buses
at
the track.
Like our motorhomes there. Yeah. So right.
Bus
there.
Life.
Bus life.
Hashtag.
Who's got the better RV?
James did. I haven't seen your new one. Your new one's short.
It's short, nice.
It's nice.
It's new, so it's nice inside, but it's a little smaller.
His is nicer. Mine's bigger.
What's like the dopest wow feature?
I need
in
to
your
take
RV?
A break, fellas. Hold those thoughts.
Holding.
Shut the fuck up, Matt Farah, and we'll be right back with more Spike's Car Radio. Do you know who Kimball Musk is?
Well, you probably recognize the last name. That's Elon's brother. And he's just announced he's giving away his personal and fully customized Model 3 Tesla for charity. By partnering with Omaze, the online fundraising platform, one lucky person is going to win the sixth Model 3 Tesla ever made, courtesy of Mr. Musk. And this is the Model 3, so it has everything from voice-activated controls, Wi-Fi, LTE connectivity, premium audio system, LED fog lamps, long-range battery, even taxes are covered, too. What a deal. You can enter for as little as $10. Proceeds will benefit Big Green, Kimball's own initiative to provide healthier futures to kids through learning gardens and food literacy programs. A winner is randomly selected. To enter, visit omaze.com/spike. That's my name. That's omaze.com/spike. Omaze is a really great find. Check out their other experiences while you're there. They've got one with William Shatner, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Don't forget to use the promo code SPIKE to double your chances of winning on any of these. And rest easy knowing that even if you aren't the lucky winner, it's all for a good cause.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh, Judge Judy, and John Madden.
I thought one of the greatest jobs in coaching in the NFL was Jim's first year with the 49ers.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Great time to be a Wolverine.
Everybody's got a to-do list, dropping off dry cleaning, picking up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Plus, they have the funniest TV commercials, so that's got to count for something, folks.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
Anyway, welcome back. It's really hot in here, so I'm not even going to take a break during the break. I'm just going to keep plowing through it. I'm here with Alexander Rossi and James Hinchcliffe, Indy drivers, and now fellow podcasters, gentlemen. So I want to talk about Long Beach Grand Prix, the challenges of this race. It's going to be after the race when we actually post this thing. But I did one of those ride-alongs with Mario Andretti, and it was, you know, any illusion that I could race a car like on this track just melted away in that lap. It seemed impossible. It seemed like I was flying into a different dimension. But, tell me about the track. It didn't seem like it was even wide enough to pass anybody. You know, what are the challenges of this race, and what makes it fun?
Well, I mean, the challenges make it fun. And so the challenges of a race like Long Beach are you are literally racing on city streets.
Right.
Every inch of that racetrack is either city roads or a parking lot.
Right.
And so you have concrete walls everywhere, zero room for mistake. It's not like a permanent road course where you can, like, drop a wheel in the grass, like VIR, for example. You have a lot of surface changes because they do road work. So you go from a concrete section to an asphalt section or whatever. So that affects the way the car handles.
They don't seem to repair the street either. There were potholes.
It's really bumpy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you're driving in a car that has like an inch of ground.
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah. It seems just very abusive.
And like what front and rear springs?
Well, I mean, I can't tell you that
precisely. Would you say you're running the 800s in the front?
Wow. Isn't if it really, you're running 800s in the front, that's well that's, impressive.
You're getting that big front grip.
Yeah. Is there really that much going on that you guys can't talk about between each other?
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Really?
The car setups, like that's the most protected thing.
The car setup, the engineering.
Absolutely. Because you got to think about it. So we're all given roughly the same pieces, right? There are two engine manufacturers. There's Honda and then some other company. And I'm kidding. They're a great competitor. And Alex and I both drive for Honda. Go Honda. And
you can buy your Honda Pilot and your local Honda dealership.
Acura cars are fine too. But so they have basically all the same parts other than that. And it's who puts all the pieces together the right way for that particular track, for that particular day, with that particular weather, for that particular driver. You know, there's 1,000 variables that you can adjust as the engineers and drivers and mechanics.
And there's probably like 18 different combinations on that day that will work.
Right. So trying to find the best one among the 24 guys or whatever that are out there is just so, so challenging. And like one of the big challenges about racing is it's not like your normal team sports or stick and ball sports where there's a winner and there's a loser, right? Every single race, you have to beat every single person. So it's like winning a championship in every other sport every single time you do it.
So what is the strategy with this race? Is it qualifying?
Go faster than everybody.
Are you winning in the qualifying there? Because it doesn't seem like you can get around anybody on this track.
So passing is notoriously difficult at any street circuit.
Right.
I think Long Beach is one of the easier
It's
ones.
One of the better ones. Yeah. And that's why it's been around so long. I mean, we're in the 40-somethingth year now of this race. After the Indy 500, Long Beach is the longest running event.
Mm-hmm.
And for a street course, it's got a very, very cool mix of corners. Normally, street courses are straightaway 90, straightaway 90, straightaway 90, maybe mm-hmm. 180. But this one's got some really cool corners, cool flow. But yeah, qualifying is always key in our series. Strategy during the race can make a bad Saturday into a good Sunday. But if you're starting up front, you've got more options, and it's always better to start up there.
Is it a fun circuit to drive?
Oh, it's a blast. It's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah?
Honestly, yeah.
Why is that?
Just kind of what James said. I mean, there's a rhythm to it. A lot of the street courses are Mickey Mouse, and they're so low grip or so bumpy that it's just not enjoyable. Mm. Whereas Long Beach is it's street coursey and visceral and raw enough, but then it's also fun.
Yeah.
And it's just such a beautiful place as well. I mean, you don't really see it, but you do a little bit when you're approaching like the 2-3 complex and you're going around a fountain. And,
yeah.
And you're like trying to
– the fountain's good.
That's and you're trying touch, to get yeah. on like the landscaping and hit the flowers. Yeah, yeah, like that's yeah. nice. That's like, oh, I'm here with some roses while I'm like driving my race car.
Like about Monaco, it's like, can you go around the pool?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then between 6 and 8, there's like legitimate elevation.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, a lot of road courses they mm-hmm. build these days don't even have that. They're also sterile. But this one has that kind of character.
And here's the funny thing. So in 2016, it was my first time actually racing at Long Beach. And I only raced at – street tracks in Europe at this point. And during the race on Sunday, going into turn, is it 8 before you go down the back straight?
Yeah.
So going into turn 8, there's you're going through kind of the shopping area, the uh-huh. shopping mall. There's like a P.F. Chang's and, yeah. like, and Applebee's and all this stuff.
Little
and,
Irish pub, yeah. movie
and,
theater.
And so like on the right, a Crate and Barrel. So on the right, at the apex of turn 8, there's like this restaurant and people are outdoors and they have their drinks and food or whatever. Like, from half of the race to the end, all you smelled was weed.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was yeah. crazy.
Welcome to California.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. That shit was legal, funny. Son.
Yeah. That was coming from California Pizza Kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually yeah. on the last corner before the droop downhill, there's a great dueling piano bar, which I highly recommend going to. It's like one of those, you know, the two
and
piano deals.
Contrast your fans for us with the NASCAR fans. Like, is that the same a group of people watching the race, or who are your fans? Who are the IndyCar fans?
They're the same, but a little classier.
Just a little classier.
Just a touch classier.
So they have tuxedos, or
they have tuxedo T-shirts.
Yeah,
instead of wife beaters.
They have motorized RVs instead of fifth wheels.
They have Canadian tuxedo, yeah. So jeans and a denim shirt.
I wish you could see more down at Long Beach. You know, I've been down to the race a bunch of times, and it's hard to, you know, unless you're in a box, and yeah. you know, and I've been a guest of Indy many times, and it's awesome when you're up there and you can see the cars. It's hard to see the cars. You can hear them, but you don't get to see them.
That is right? that is a street circuit trait in general.
Right,
there's a
yeah.
couple good watching spots, you know, in turn 10, that's kind of a slower section, so uh-huh. you see the cars for a little longer. You can sit right outside the hairpin. So like the famous hairpin, the last corner on the track there, is the slowest corner that we do all year long.
Mm-hmm.
You have to run sometimes special steering racks and steering arms just to get
special
these things
angle,
around
yeah.
it.
Which
yeah.
one?
So what we use is the so yeah, it is a challenge sometimes with sight lines and things like mm-hmm. that, but the whole experience is awesome, and you can bounce around in different places throughout the day, so it's still pretty cool.
Alex, you said you've done a few of the street circuits in Europe. Have you run like Monaco?
Oh yeah,
and
6 years.
So what's that like? Just the scariest place imaginable, it seems.
No, because it's at the end of the day, it's another racetrack. Like for us, when you're on a road course, you don't want to hit the grass. Like, you exit to as much width of the track that you have, but you don't hit the grass. Well, it's the exact same with a wall. It's just the penalty's higher. But your approach and methodology and mindset does not change one bit.
Does the visibility of it with it?
Yeah, I mean,
you're not seeing the edge of a pavement. It kind of blends
a little bit,
those
a little bit. But I mean, there's blind corners on road courses as well. And I think it's just something that you know, at that point, once you're racing at Monaco or once you're racing at Long Beach, once you've gotten to that point in your career, you're more than qualified to be able to drive within an inch and a half of the wall.
It's a trust factor, right? Like once you know where it goes, whether the walls are there or not, you just have to trust that it's exactly how you remember it the last time you've gone through.
Yeah.
So the challenge on street circuits is if something does happen in front of you, you don't have as much time to react to it.
How many concussions have you guys had? Let's add them up.
I've had the one.
I've had a bunch. Yeah.
I mean, he had that moment where he died.
Yeah, I died briefly. But
really? Right. How long?
I don't know, like a minute.
Fuck.
Yeah.
This was 2015, right?
Yeah.
Had a bad accident. And this was at Indy.
Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Had a mechanical failure on the car. Hit the wall at about 225 miles an hour.
Good God.
It was the highest survivable recorded G impact in IndyCar ever.
How many Gs?
126.
What?
126 Gs?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that'll concuss you pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like worth 2 points.
Yeah, that's a two point.
That's a double concussion.
Definitely. How do you double point?
You come out of that.
Well, I came out of it with a piece of suspension through my abdomen. So that's what the nearly dying part came from.
Right. But I mean, you come through that experience and you get right back in the car.
You know, it's funny. So, because that's, you get that question a bit. And, you know, did you ever think about quitting or what was it like getting back in the car? And the long and short of it is, because I was so concussed, I actually have no memory of the accident itself
at all.
Don't remember hitting. Don't remember the bits. I don't remember getting pulled out. I don't remember any of that stuff. And I think that helps a lot in getting over it. Because as far as I'm concerned, the last time I was in the car, everything was fine.
Yeah.
And I made a very conscious decision when I woke up in hospital to not associate anything that was happening to me from that moment onwards with the race car or that track or anything. So to me, that was just something that happened. Didn't have to happen in the car.
It's like getting sick.
Exactly. So like it happened. There's nothing I could do about it. It wasn't my mistake that caused the accident. It was a mechanical failure. I think that helps too. I didn't have to question my ability. I didn't think, oh man, could I make that mistake again and put myself in this position again? So for me, as soon as the doctor physically let me back in a car, I jumped right back in a car.
And because you
were full confidence.
And can we talk about the fact that 365 days later or 359 days later – he literally went back to the same track and qualified on pole for the Indy 500.
That's insane.
Extremely badass.
Insane.
Yeah.
What if you had – cool. Do you have any supernatural abilities because of this?
He has two buttholes.
Yeah. I can fart in stereo.
If you could communicate with another world because you were there, I mean, how do you not come out of an experience of that without some sort of spiritual kind of direction or awakening? Just – you know, you hear about people usually much later in life who have that brush with death and they see the world differently. Do you have anything like that?
I definitely look at certain things differently. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have like the see the light moment or anything like that.
No, I just mean maybe you don't sweat the small stuff as much.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Honestly, it's not only not sweating the small stuff, it's appreciating the small stuff.
Right.
You know, there's so many things that you take for granted in a day and – you know, little things. So, you know, I was bedridden for a while and couldn't really move very well for a couple months. And I'm a pretty independent guy and pretty competitive guy. And it was hard to – a pretty active guy. It's hard to just sit around and let myself heal. But, you know, I remember the day that I could actually stand up, walk to my closet and bend over and put my own socks on. And it was if I couldn't do that for like 2.5 months. And the first day I did that, I like almost cried.
Right.
And it's just like there are little things that you do every day that you just don't even realize some people can't do.
All right. You have earned your AMG GT. You cannot sell this car. I know you feel uncomfortable getting out of it, but the people listening, the people from your hometown are going to say, God damn it. He's self-conscious.
In Indy?
Yeah. But I think
need a Hellcat or something.
The people of Indy are going to now step up to you and say, you keep that car. And I'm glad you have that car. You earned that.
Well, thank you, sir.
I want to get to some questions because a lot of people have questions. And
you could give me the car.
You can definitely drive that car. You don't need to be. That car's not that obnoxious.
No, it's not. And that's what I like about it. It's not, you know, you're not showing up with like a Huracan or something. That's
no, it's not a Huracan. It's not a yellow V12 Ferrari.
Right.
It's, an AMG is chill. That's
all right,
fine.
Mr. Rossi, with F1 being the goal for a long time and getting a taste at small teams, from the driver's seat, is racing more enjoyable in the Indy car?
Absolutely. And the reason for that is very simple. Every single time I show up at a racetrack, I know I have the chance to win. Whereas that certainly was not the case in Formula One.
Okay, there you go.
Do you find on the other end of that coin that IndyCar could be more popular if it had the manufacturer association that Formula
100%.
One had.
And we are trying very hard.
Yeah,
to
I mean, that. Manufacturer involvement is a huge part of the sport, and that's a large source of income for teams and drivers and all the rest of it.
Well, and also a fan, an excited fan, would tend to vote for a or root for a team over an individual driver. You think?
Here's
right?
the thing. That's or where
no?
IndyCar gets
yes
it
and
right.
No.
So Formula One, you notice the fan base is very much connected to a brand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's their Ferrari fans or their
McLaren fans
or, you know, they are associated with that because the drivers are so inaccessible. Mm-hmm. Whereas in IndyCar, the drivers are the people that people are in love with. You don't really see people with a Andretti Autosport t-shirt. You may see people with a Marco Andretti t-shirt or a Ryan Hunter Ray t-shirt or a whole hell of a lot of James Hinchcliffe t-shirts.
Yes.
Which is real annoying.
Sorry about that.
But you don't see team shirts. And that part, I think, is really cool. And the fact that the fan base is so much in tune with the drivers is the important thing.
All right. Jay McGrath wants to know, and this is directed at you, Matt, and we'll start with you. But I think we can all chime in on this one. I like this question a lot. Which car maker model car has the worst cult following of people behind it? In other words...
Oh, the worst kind of people?
Yeah. What car has the worst fans and the worst kind of people around there?
The worst.
That's a good question.
Yeah. And there's...
No, you're saying the worst. You have to really... What is the definition of worst? Because I immediately think of Ferrari, and I think about the people in the red shirts and the red hats and the red socks.
I've got one better.
Yeah, let Alex take
but
it.
But I don't... Okay, go ahead.
And I don't dislike the car at all. I like the car a lot.
Yeah.
But I think Corvette owners are the worst.
I'm going to have to go... See, there's two.
That's a good one, actually.
There's two ways like to go. There's the Corvette owners that you're probably talking about who buy shit out of the Mid America Corvette catalog, the fake chrome.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
yeah. So there's
and
those,
have the,
those
the
guys.
Corvette keychain and the, the Corvette dad hat,
yeah. The varsity jacket.
Yes,
those are the Corvettes that don't get bought, sold, or driven. They're just are there. On the other hand, you will find a lot of young people, especially here in Southern California, buying used C5 and C6 Corvettes and running excellent lap times at our racetracks here. A C6 Corvette Z06 is about the fastest you can go per dollar in street cars.
Money for
I don't
dollar?
Disagree with it. Like I said, love the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't like the
it's
people.
The people.
No, yeah,
it's
but
the
there
people.
Are some. There are a few cool Corvette people that are like Ryan Cunningham. You know Ryan Cunningham?
Sure.
He's a Corvette tuner.
There's one.
He's a no.
There's a few cool Canadians as well. It doesn't mean we like
Cunningham's a tuner.
What do you think? What do you think, Hinch? What group of people don't you like? Because I can tell you who I don't like. All right. I don't like small BMW 3 Series guys because they're stuck in those cars and they're pissed off. There are a lot of Acura guys. I noticed out here. I know you guys are Honda Acura, but a lot of guys in Acura cause a lot of trouble. But most of all, I don't like the big pickup truck guys. Oh. I find that they're a bunch of bullies on the road. So I'm going to say big pickup guys in LA, and I would exclude contractors and pool guys. I'm talking about like my business partner, John.
Oh,
he's a total dick.
Yeah, he drives a Dodge 2500, which anywhere else in the country seems almost
like
normal.
Like a dually?
Like, not
no,
a dually.
No, but there are dually guys, too.
It's, yeah.
There are those.
Here
not,
in LA,
not in LA.
What do you think? What do you think?
In LA, a dually is absurd.
Can you imagine?
I'm kind of with you on the sticking away from a specific brand and going more with like the genre of car. But it's like the big SUVs with like the soccer moms in them.
Yeah.
Because like they're just – and I get it. They got a lot going on. There's kids screaming in the back or they're late to pick up Timmy from soccer or whatever it is. But like some of the driving that you see out of those people is shocking.
L.A. is a really fun place to learn what kind – it's like ride a motorcycle around L.A.
It's actually insane.
It's pretty crazy stuff.
I don't know why you do it.
We have a watch question, Matt, for you and I. $1,000 budget.
You guys watch, guys?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. $1,000 budget for a casual dress or diver watch, but only $1,000.
100% Tag Heuer.
Tag Heuer. Yeah, and I would even say used Tag Heuer.
Yeah, used
Your
Tag
money
Heuer.
Goes really
right,
far
right.
in a used Tag
We're big
Heuer.
Fans of Tag Heuer.
Sponsored by Tag Heuer.
I'm a Tag Heuer.
What are you
boy.
Wearing, Alex? What is that?
I am wearing
That's
an
RM01.
This is a Carrera. This was the one I actually got for winning the 500.
No kidding.
Is that
they
really?
They made 100 of these. Yeah.
Cool.
Must be nice.
I just got the Siffert reissue. They're reissuing the Siffert Octavia.
I have that. I have the special edition Octavia.
No, there's a new one coming out. Brand new. It's getting delivered in a few
days.
So
it's not the Jack Horner?
No, it is not. But that's a beautiful watch.
That's a beautiful watch.
And Matt, I know that Jerry's getting one.
I
got
it.
Him one.
He's not going to want it, and I'm going to want it.
He's
not going to want it.
Telling
me
he's going to want it no matter what.
Fuck.
But I told him I
you
have
can't
a buyer.
Beat Seinfeld?
No.
I think
he'll Hoover up everything.
It's still
like a galaxy.
It's very exclusive, and he'll be able to lord it over people. So he's probably not going to let it go, even if he doesn't like it. But I'm a huge Tag Heuer fan, and that is the answer to your question. Tag Heuer,
yeah,
Tag Heuer is definitely going to work.
Is a long way, and maybe you use Seamaster if you could find a Seamaster, but that might be kind of beat.
We kind of covered this. IndyCar windscreen thoughts and impressions. Will the windscreen require a tear off due to oil and debris buildup?
That was when he told me to shut up. Remember?
Yeah, yeah. We covered that. So yeah, shut up. You shut up too. What would it take to get an American into F1 full time, and how close did that come to happening with Alexander?
Big cash.
Pretty close.
It's a money question.
It is a money question, unfortunately. And I don't know that will change, but I certainly hope that it does.
Okay. Do the IndyCar drivers like their new cars that have less downforce but offer better racing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're racers. So give us something that offers better racing. It's going to be better for us. It's going to be better for everybody watching.
But does that less downforce mean a little instability?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. The cars move around a ton more. So like we got a lot less downforce. We had a really interesting conversation about this at the first race in St. Pete. About the physicality of the cars. The last 2 years, the cars have been remarkably physical. The physical effort required to get an Indy car around a lap of most of these tracks just went up exponentially as we just found more and more downforce piled it on the car. With the reduction in downforce, we were all kind of laughing, like, man, we've spent the last 2 years training for a level that we don't really have to operate at anymore. It's going to be so much. We're going to get to St. Pete overfit for these cars. It's going to be way easier than it was last year. Well, so here's the thing. When the car is glued to the road with all that downforce, very physical, high sustained G's, all the rest of it, but it feels like it's on rails because it doesn't move, right? Now, yeah, there's still several thousand pounds of downforce, right? We didn't take it all off, but they're just moving so much. You're constantly correcting. You're way more on edge.
And holding your breath a lot.
Basically saving your life a whole lot.
Terrified, yeah.
So it was
really
– it was exhausting. Well, St. Pete was exhausting for that reason.
And it's just –
So you still get afraid.
No, you don't get afraid. You just
a little adrenaline burst.
You're trying to win, and you don't want to crash.
Right.
So
right.
When you have a big moment, you hold your breath. But it's like I feel like the cardio demand is much higher. The actual pure strength demand has gone down.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. This question is for you, Matt.
Oh, God.
when showering with a bald head, do you use shampoo or just soap? Are you bald to save money on shampoo? And that's from Sean Gardner.
He actually put chassis on his head.
Do you ever just found a way to call me a Jew without saying those three letters?
Would you put chassis on your head?
No.
By the way, and I know we've talked a lot about chassis. I'm genuinely interested in this.
I'll get all of you guys bottles sent to your pits.
I want a pleasant experience for my testicles, and it sounds like you're giving me the reason to do that.
And to answer the gentleman's question, I have
he's just being an asshole. You don't have to answer that question.
All in one.
Okay. This guy, Alex, wants to know what Rossi and Hinch think of Matt's Fox body. Have you seen his car, his Mustang?
Do you guys like Fox body Mustangs?
He can give you a quick lowdown.
No, you don't.
Show me.
Why would you?
I don't know what that is. Cool.
I like Mustangs.
It's a Mustang from the 1980s. The square ones, the boxy ones.
So already less yes than no. I haven't seen it yet, but
that's
extremely
funny.
How many miles are on your Lexus right now?
974,000.
Wow.
What?
So I have a Lexus with 974,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get it to a million.
How many of those miles are yours?
Why don't we put give
like
them the car for a little while?
Mine.
You know, Matt,
you bought a 800,000 mile car?
I bought a Lexus with 897,000 miles on it.
For how much?
$1,200.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then with the goal of putting
getting it
to a million.
When you take it into a Lexus shop, are they just like, what the hell?
Yeah. The dealers are. But Lexus corporate couldn't No, they don't care.
What?
They really don't.
No, they don't care.
They should be paying
to just get that thing
over a million miles.
They should, but they don't care. They say that's exactly what it's meant for. They're not impressed.
Oh, please.
Yeah, no, seriously.
What do you have planned for the million mile moment?
So we noticed on a recent trip to the Middle East that over half the cars in Oman, the country of Oman, are old Lexuses. Uh-huh. And my friend is working with Emirates, who is advertising a service they offer for which you can buy a business class ticket anywhere they fly, and they load the car on the plane with you.
No
so
way.
You can fly internationally with your car. And it only costs the same as another business class plane
ticket.
Yet
they're charging me $125 for a 52-pound bag. Wow.
Yes. Or you can do 10 Gs for a car.
So you're going to fly where with this car?
Dubai.
Okay.
And road trip the Middle East in it and then leave it in Oman with a goat herder.
That's the plan?
Here's my Fox body. I widened it and it runs independent rear suspension, 295 square stance. It's bitching.
It pulls
1.2 Gs, not bad for an 88 Mustang.
Okay, I like it better than 1. I thought it was going 2? To.
Yeah, wow. On Sport Cup 2s, no aero.
That's impressive. Really?
Yeah, it's good. Fast car. Yeah. It's fun.
I like it better than I thought it was going to.
Most people do.
Well played, sir.
There you go.
Well played.
It's not an Indy car, but it's fun.
Getting back to this plan with Dubai for this this thing seems a little anticlimactic. What you're going to bring it there?
What would be climactic?
You're a master of kind of social media and
you
things.
Hear the
it
most...
seems like you're going to have some big splashy.
I don't have the thing. That's my thing. The most anticlimactic part of this is that it's a 6-digit digital odometer that I know for a fact will come to a complete stop at 99999.
Oh, it will.
What if it goes to zero? Are you going to sell
it? It doesn't. I know it doesn't.
Oh.
Because someone else has done it.
It's been done. Yeah, it's been done. This is not the first Lexus to get to a million. So it's just my Lexus to get to a million.
So you drive it, you fly it to Oman, right, and just leave it?
No, you don't just leave it. You go on adventures in the Middle East, and then you find someone in need of a Lexus.
That's
story
different.
Continues.
That's nice.
And you give it to them.
Yeah, I mean, what am I going to do? I'll trade if I did.
He has to now.
Here you go, tribesman, a million miles.
In a perfect world, I'd trade it for like a goat, you know, that we then eat.
Right.
That's pretty much.
So a buddy of ours actually bought a goat. And it was
two
goats. And it was actually pretty cheap to buy the goat until he got the bill to ship it back to America.
Where did he buy it?
Australia.
He bought it from Australia. Evidently, shipping on two goats from Australia to the States, not cheap.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. More than
your
Lexus. Probably some quarantine involved as well.
There was some paperwork that he was not willing to fill out.
Do you have any fruits and vegetables? What's that?
neither a fruit nor a vegetable.
Well, gentlemen, we've discussed a lot. We've discussed
we've a lot of
testicles.
Topics.
From
we've
ball
discussed
powder to goat herding.
Near-death experiences. We fought. We feuded. We're sweating to death. So thank you so much for coming in. I wish you the best of luck this weekend, guys.
Thank you so much. Really, the race series
is thrilling. If you get a chance to see an Indy race near you. I've heard rumors that they're going to be adding new tracks. Have they talked to you guys about that? Are they even? I heard this from someone not associated with Indy.
We added Portland to the schedule this year. So when
is that a street circuit or is
that's a permanent road course?
Mm-hmm. Which one? Portland
International.
Oh, cool.
So we're going out there first weekend in September, I think. Second last race of the season before we head back to California for the finale in Sonoma.
Uh-huh.
There are always talks of adding new new tracks. And,
I've been out to a few tracks where they were whispering in my ear about it.
Yeah.
And you guys are on NBC Sports this year, or is it NBC proper?
It's a little bit of everything. We do some races on ABC, some on NBC, NBC Sports, yeah. And
then great.
For 2019, we're an all NBC property, 8 on network, and the rest on NBC Sports.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
And off track. Where do we find that?
You find Off Track with Hinch and Rossi on CastBox.fm, but it's available on all podcast mediums.
Anywhere you get your podcasts, we just like CastBox.
And it's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun on the show.
We appreciate
it. It was a good time.
Yeah.
It wasn't what I expected. And Matt Farah, I just did your Watch podcast, which was also a lot of fun.
Check it out on YouTube, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast. Watch and Listen, it's called. It's a video show.
I get it. I see what you did
there.
I'm good at naming things.
I like it.
Good at naming things.
And the Crown and Caliber guys are on their way out.
Yes. They're doing a watch story with Crown
too,
and Caliber.
Me too. What are you doing with yours?
I don't know, but I have to race back from the ZR1 launch at Road Atlanta, which I'm very excited for. The new Corvette ZR1.
You
should
are
be good.
Living the dream, my friend.
Taking the kink flat at 160 is going to be my goal. In a street car. I've never done that in a
street
car. Don't
do it in
the kink. The kink down to the chicane there?
The kink down to 10A and 10B in Road Atlanta. I chickened out. I had a 700 horsepower Porsche turbo, and I chickened out and took it at about 155, and I probably could have gone flat and crack 160, but I didn't have the balls. I'm going to fucking do do it. And that's
well, because you're going to be covered in chassis. So
they'll be covered in chassis. My balls will be cool,
and free.
If only you had that powder, you would have been so much faster. And I'm of course Spike First, and catch up with me on Instagram. That's where I have the most fun. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio. Real quick before we go, here are some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car will improve gas mileage, and you can place your key fob to your chin to increase its range. That's pretty weird, right? Well, here's another tip you also might not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid so they know if they're getting a good deal before they're buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio. Download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.